Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
So we'll probably get through chapter 43, and that we'll look at that and say that's exactly what the Lord had for us this evening. It's a wonderful chapter. But we are in the midst of chapter 42, 43, 44, and 45 of simply looking at steps that change a person's life. Now, if you're taking notes and you want to put that down, that would be the title of the message this evening as we continue until we get through the chapters that I mentioned. Steps that change a person's life. Will God go to the ends of the earth to change your life? You bet. Would he go to the height, the depth? Would he go to the breadth? That way, okay, of planet Earth? You bet. Will he be intimately involved in our lives in ways that we can't even imagine? Absolutely. He does that because he loves us. Now, he loves us so much, I have found that he doesn't change me in the ways that I want it to happen. He does it his way. And sometimes I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like what he was doing when we first came from San Diego to Indianapolis and we were faithful and all, and things just kind of just didn't happen. And I was thinking, God, where are you? I mean, we're faithful. We left because you said go. And we brought our kids here and everything like that and left all behind, the ocean, the mountains, the weather, and all that. You know, great sacrifice, right? But he did that because he wanted to change us, because he loves us. It says in the Bible, as you know, God is love. I often hear people say, well, that's the characteristic of God. No. I often hear them say that's an attribute of God. No. It's much more than those. It's who he is. And so as we have studied in Scripture and we've known, as you that have been here for years, we know that that's who God is and that he will not do anything in our lives other than love. No way. Is that not true? Because that's who he is. Even his justice is his love. If he's a true God, he'll love us and he'll say yes. And he will love us and he'll say no. Because he's the one that knows what is best for us. That's why we should cry out and pray. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, every time we can think of it. Lord, because of your mercy, I present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's what you've done, Lord. That's what you've made me to be in your eyes as my act of spiritual worship. And that, Lord, I would not be conformed to this world, but I'd be transformed by the renewing of my mind into that good and acceptable and perfect will. We would pray that, and we should pray that and think about that and walk in that and meditate over that every single time that we think of that verse. We should add to it, as I've shared before, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. We're starting on Sunday mornings, Galatians. I am so excited about Galatians. It will set us free, even those of us that have been free. I'm excited about going through it again and being set free, even more so from things that might bind me up. And, you know, so often I try to please God, you know? And isn't that I'm not supposed to please God, but he's already pleased. He's already pleased. I find that I can't please him anymore. Now, I can be obedient, and one might say, yes, that pleases God. Yeah, you know, I get that. But he's paid the price for me. He's paid everything for you and I. He's done that, and we've accepted him, and that is what he died for, and I believe that brings great joy into his life. Isn't that an amazing thing? Us that are finite, he who is infinite is so concerned about us, so very concerned about us, and he loves us. He truly loves us. It's amazing to think that he loves us. Now, part of his love for us is, as I mentioned, he wants to change us. He wants to conform us. Corinthians tells us that we are being conformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? Is that exciting? Yes. Really is. But you know how that happens, don't you? It happens through death to self. There is no other way. I don't believe, you know, that we have to come to that point to die to ourselves to receive him. You know, how many of us would give the testimony that we have took a while for us to get to know the Lord? I was 27 when I gave my heart to the Lord. It took a while because he had to deal with myself and bring it to the point of death. And since that, 40-some years, he keeps bringing me to this place that he's changing me into the image of Jesus. And I have not even scratched the surface. After 40-some years, I don't want to discourage you, you know, but having, you know, he's got so much more to do. And I'll be changed as you'll be changed when we're with him in heaven. We receive his new bodies and we're transformed. And it's an amazing thing. And so steps that change a person's life. He uses the scripture, as you guys know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, he gives us the scripture so we can be equipped. Here in Romans chapter 15, please look at verse 4. Speaking of the Old Testament, oops, I'm at chapter 13, that doesn't work. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever things, Paul says, were written before Old Testament scriptures, were written for our, number one, learning. Number two, that we, through the patience and comfort, number three, of the scriptures, might have what? Hope. The hope that is found in Jesus Christ, we all know, is an amazing thing. Now, he adds to that concept. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now, all these things, again, I believe, pointing to his word that has been written, happened in the things that we find in the word, all the things from Abraham to, you know, from Adam to all these things happened to them as examples. In the Old Testament, there's examples, and to us, there's examples that we can look back at, and they were written for our admonition, our encouragement, our growth, if I could say, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. I believe that we live in the end of the ages. I really do. I believe that Jesus is coming back. Amen? You guys do that. And I believe in that. And that keeps me excited. I wake up and, Lord, it can be today. Do we wake up that way? Lord, it can be today. You know? And I try to the best I can. Sometimes I'm not as good as I need to be, but in the evening, I just try to, before I go to sleep, I just try to set it right there at the foot of the cross. Just try to set there, and I can be anxious. I woke up anxious this morning. I really did. I was telling Vi about it. I woke up worried about this, about this, about this, and about that, and everything. And great man of faith I am. I woke, and these different thoughts were in my mind. And so then I had to clear my mind because I want to go back to sleep. You know, I just want to go back to sleep, get it over with. And so then I went into my devotions, and then I went into the study for tonight and all that, and it was like the Holy Spirit was taking each one of those things and saying, okay, now I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do that. Really, Lord, is that what you want? All those things and everything. And as I was able to listen to him, and I'm no spiritual giant by any means, but as I was able, it just resonated. You know how it is when he speaks to us, it just resonates inside of our heart. We just go, that is you, Lord, isn't it? And saying, okay, I want you to take this step, and I want you to make sure you do this and do that and everything. And I thought, oh, Lord, I just love you. I love you. Everything's so beyond me. This world is a crazy, crazy place. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. This is what we're going to see in chapters 43, 44, 45. We see it in our lives today, beginning in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We cannot approach for salvation a holy God by our works. And after we are saved, we cannot continue our salvation by our works. Because look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Now, you guys know what that word workmanship in the Greek is. Poema. Where we get our word poem. How about that? You and I are God's poem. Another way might be that we might understand it. I think it's true, and it's not a translation, but something that speaks to me. We are his tapestry. His tapestry. Think about your life today. Before you knew the Lord, as you look back, since you've known the Lord, has he used the things that were in your life before you knew the Lord? Did that make sense? Yeah, he does. He's used every single thing. Even before we knew him, he was in control of our lives. He's a sovereign God, but he loves us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Look at, we're created in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, I would like to venture to say that whatever we're going through here today, at this very moment, has been preordained by God. It doesn't catch him by surprise. He knows every single detail. Now, he has a purpose in it, and we have to respond to it, but it's all his tapestry, all his poema, it's all his workmanship in our lives today. How many agree with that? It's him. He's the master design. He's the one that is controlling everything. And so when we begin to dive into Genesis chapter 43 and 44 and 45, and we looked at chapter 42, we see a tapestry. We see his workmanship in the birth of the nation of Israel through a man named Jacob, through a man named Joseph, that of all places, that God would take his people to birth a nation would be the world. Would God do that? You bet, because he did. Egypt represents the world. Abraham was warned, don't go down there. Others were warned, do not go into Egypt. You go down there, you're going to be in rebellion. And unfortunately, some did. Others said, no, I'm not going to go there. But the world, God took the nation of Israel. It was just a handful, a couple handfuls, three handfuls or so of people at that point. And he took them into, a little more than that, 70 souls. He took them into Egypt, right into the world. So the question for us today is, would God use the world to form us into his image? You bet. I don't like it, but he will, and he does. Because we are in the world, we're no longer of the world, and we're not supposed to be of the world, but because we're in the world, the things that are all here, he'll use every single thing that here is for our good. All things work together for good for those who love God and the called according to his purposes. Look at verse 10 again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wherever we are today, we are to be rest in God and say, God, I am just going to rest that these works are designed by you. And then you might go, but Lord, I've been rebellious. Well, we need to be careful. Isn't that he's not there? But we have to be careful in that sense. But we yield ourselves to him. Now go with me to Psalm 139. That's in the New Testament, in case you didn't know. Psalm 139. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Verse 13. For you, God, David says, form my inner parts. How many today believe that God formed our inner parts? Yeah. In application, it'd be for us. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Isn't that sweet? How close can God be to us? No closer than that. Do we believe this? No, I don't think it was a blanket or one of my wife's quilts. I don't think that at all. But there in the womb, he covered us somehow. Maybe his love. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Would we please underline that? Look at verse 14. This is who we are this evening. I will praise you. Let's praise the Lord. Why? Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that special? See, a lot of times, like I've said before, so often where I get hung up is I forget how God views me, because then I view myself through my eyes. Golly, you're so stupid. God's never said that to me. I've said that to me, you know? But that's not what God would say to us. He would never say that. He would say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He would say, I'm conforming you into my image. He would say to me that I have a plan, an everlasting plan for you. He says that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. I am faithful to forgive you. I am faithful to cleanse you. I have a plan for your life. I want you to be confident of this very thing, that I have begun a good work in you, and it's I who will continue that good work, whatever it is. It could be Myanmar, of all places. These guys shared at the Bible college yesterday, and I loved their testimony and hearing that about that, you know, building up to Myanmar. They had God speak to them a number of times and saying, I'm going to take you up to a place that's not, you're not going to like. You know, or something like that, right? To a hard place or something like that. Myanmar is it. Truly is. You know, they've been trying to get me to come, but I'm afraid of the food. I said, is there a McDonald's there? No. Okay, there's got to be a Chick-fil-A there. No. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Notice what he goes on and says. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, that's my mother's womb, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, my mother's womb. He was right there. Amen? How special are we? Not in a prideful way, but is it okay to say, golly, I'm God's child? And that means certain things. It seems there's so many promises. Now, but it also means this, and I've already said that, is that he's got a design for me, he's got a design for you. He's got a master plan that he wants you to walk through and a path he wants you to walk down. And it's, as we seen earlier there, it's designed. It's by him, whatever we're going through. Sometimes it's yucky and all of that. Now, I'm not saying that we can't get ourselves in trouble. Be careful of that. But you know, I just love you. I'm just walking with you. I'm so excited about you. And then all of a sudden in the middle of the week, that happens. Ooh, what happened? I go really quickly to myself and I go, oh, I must have sinned somewhere. You know, God's mad at me. That's what's going on. I don't have enough faith. Anybody else do that? So quickly I go that way. I just go there. And then he starts talking to me and saying, it's not about you. It's not about you. Who do you belong to? What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He is in you and you are not your own. Glorify God in your body. He's paid the price for you. You belong to me. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, it's all this design that he has. How does he do your design plus my design plus your design plus your design and your design? How does he do all those designs at the same time? Does he have this big giant computer? Is that how he does it? He's so beyond us. Go with me to Genesis chapter 43. You didn't think I was going to get there, did you? He said this in chapter 42. And he starts out in 43 in the first two verses and says this. Now the famine was severe in the land. Notice it says, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which had been brought from Egypt that their father said to them, go back, buy a little food. Lord, you're telling me that you want your people to go back to the world to buy food? What about supernatural provision? What about you blessing us because we're being obedient to you? After all, Abraham left the promised land, or the land that he was in, coming into the promised land. Then Isaac, the promise was taken there, and then it's into Jacob. It's right there. The promise is there. Lord, where is the promise? Where is it? I've been faithful to you. I've been obedient to you. I left San Diego and came to this land of horizontal beauty. Okay? What is going wrong, Lord? Have you left me? Has anybody ever wondered that? Have you forsaken me, Lord? Sometimes I go, yep. That's where I get. It is so ugly. I hide it pretty well because I get up in the morning and I become Mr. Rogers. You know? What's Mr. Rogers' song? ask the people that are on the team here. I just sing that stupid song. And the reason I sing is because I feel stupid. It makes me laugh at myself, okay? But that's who he is, right? I can't change yesterday. I don't have control of tomorrow. All I've got is today to walk through. And so when I wake up, okay, how am I going to walk through this? This seems pretty heavy, Lord. This seems pretty heavy. And I'm not saying that I make light of anything that anybody goes through or what we're going through. No, not at all. But how, Lord, am I going to go through this with you? Is it going to capture me? Is it going to take me down? And I'm not talking about positive mental attitude. I'm saying positioning myself in Christ and who he is and who he has made me to be. That's a battle enough, is it not? Learning that, being in the scriptures, bathing ourselves in scriptures, standing upon that. It's not works, as Galatians will tell us. It's the grace of God in our lives, and he works in our lives. And I am blown away by this year's Bible college class. I truly am. Not that I haven't been blown away by others. But I just look at them. It's a wonderful class. I'm sorry, guys. You're going to get all puffed up now. I just know it. And now we're going to have troubles, you know, and all that. You're going to get fleshly. But I just love that. You know, I love that. Starting next week, you're going to get fleshly out in the wilderness. Huh? You flushed, yeah, yeah. It is next week, isn't it? Yeah, man. Take them out in the wilderness. I'm not going. Not at all. Paul's going this year, aren't you, Paul? Paul, you are going this year. Oh, that is so bad. That is so bad. You tricked me on that, Paul. You tricked me on that. No way. I would have said no. The wilderness. Now the famine was severe in the land. Will the Lord bring a severe famine in our lives? You betcha. He will. And he just in chapter 42 brought a famine. And they'd gone down and got some food in Egypt and come back. And then the famine gets worse. You think it would get better. Sometimes it just doesn't get better. I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to be a person of encouragement here tonight, okay? But sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Before there's life, as a Christian, there has to be death. Isn't that a wonderful message? A wonderful message that we have. And that's what God is doing to the nation of Israel. He is bringing them to a place of death. But in the midst of the place of death, he took this little guy named Joseph, who was so young, and his brothers hated him, and they mistreated him, and they sold him into these people that had a caravan and took him down into the world, into Egypt in that way. And he turns out to be God's provision that they may continue and live and be formed into a nation. So God could reach out and bring judgment upon the world and the false gods of the world. Egypt, remember the world? The frogs, the lice, keep going on and on. They were all gods to the Egyptians. You guys realize that? What God was dealing with is the gods of the world. In the midst of that, but he was bringing a people out from the world, and it's an example for us because it's there in the Old Testament that we might learn from it and we apply it to our lives, to our personal walk with the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? Again, that simple statement that in the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, in the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. That's what he's doing in this nation that we're never going to get to tonight. Not at all. What?
That's okay.
That's okay. Listen to the steps that this group of people, just listen to them, please. And we'll come back next week starting this. So bring your pen and pencils and your computers and your laptops and everything, you know, next week. Steps that change a person's life. First one, I'm just going to go quickly and we'll come back to them in the next couple weeks. Jacob's family faces a severe famine and hunger. That's a step of change. Second, Jacob's sons had to prove that they were not spies by telling the truth. That's a change because they're going to have to die to themselves. They're going to have to be truthful and they're going to be tested. And a lot of times when we go through trials and when we go through transformation, God will bring us to the point and he'll say, are you going to deal with this correctly? Or are you going to lie? Or are you going to try to wiggle out of it? Or are you going to tell the truth? Because a lot of times the death process is, we've got to go to a person and say, Would you please forgive me? God just revealed this in my heart, and it's no good. And he'll require that because that's part of the death process. That's the change process. Another one that we see, something dropped. Oh, that was you. Okay. I got my hearing aids on tonight so I can hear all kinds of things. It's weird. I usually don't wear them. And you know, it's really weird. I get in my car with these stupid hearing aids. No, I shouldn't say that, but I hate them. It makes me look 10 years older. But anyway, vanity. But I can hear. But I get in my car and all of a sudden I hear all these noises. What's wrong with the car? What's wrong with this? I can hear the squeaks and everything. You know, my shoes, I can hear my shoes squeak. That's not right. So I just take them off normally. Jacob had to face his own personal struggle. We're going to see that. Okay? Judah offers to be surety for Benjamin. No small thing, because he's modeling what Christ would do for us. Another change, steps to change. Jacob sends gifts to the governor. He gave his chosen possessions. Often, God's going to say, I want that. Anybody experience that? But the Lord, I don't want to give that. It's like this book, a little book that we sometimes passed out. My heart, God's, what is it, honey? Where are you? Where'd Bi go? Oh, there you are. Isn't she cute? She really is. My heart, God's.
My heart, Christ's home.
My heart, Christ's home. Takes him. You guys got to get that book. It's a great book, but he takes us into places, takes us into rooms and everything, takes us in there and says, I want that. But Lord, that's so much fun. There's so much joy. It feels so good. And yada. No, he says, no, trust me. I want that because I got something better for you. Jacob there has to give up chosen possessions. Jacob casts his sons into the hands of God. That is a step that will change a person's life, being able to do that. The brothers returned to Egypt, thereby proving they were trustworthy people. They had to prove that they were trustworthy people for God to be able to do what he wanted to do through them, because prior to this, they weren't trustworthy people. They'd been lying the whole time, 20 years, to their dad. They took Joseph's robe and dipped it in blood and let their dad believe that an animal had killed him. They're going to have to deal with that. They're going to have to acknowledge that. They're going to have to look in their dad face to face and said, this is what we did. Ooh, that's rough, isn't it? Sometimes God will take us to the place to do that. That's part of the change process. That's a step into growth. We'll see that as we continue to go on here. Then we see the brothers accept the true affection of Joseph. Now, can you imagine that? Imagine that. You know, we're going to get into where all of a sudden they realize this is Joseph. Oh, my goodness gracious. But Joseph, how he handled himself. But when the brothers find out that it's him, that is an amazing area in Scripture. The brothers accept their position and lot in life. That's humbling for them. Joseph was willing to test and strengthen the family. Very important, because God is building the family. Joseph could have done away with them, but Joseph had such a wonderful heart. And that is a time for growth for him, but also for the family to grow. The brothers were willing to stand by the family. Finally, they're willing to do that instead of divide the family. And we see that. We're going to see another change. The brothers were willing to seek forgiveness with the family. Boy, is that a neat part of Scripture. Judah was willing to sacrifice himself for the family, again, because he's setting an example for none other than Jesus Christ in that way. Joseph faced his brothers, those who had hurt him. Wow, to see that example. When a person is able to do that and just love and be used by God, that causes change in our life. Joseph forgave his brothers. We see that. Joseph shows concern for his entire family and household. Joseph shows affection for his brothers. Joseph bore a strong testimony by being reconciled with his brothers. Joseph meets his family's needs. Joseph exhorts, this is all part of change, as the process of change is going through here for the nation. Joseph exhorts his brothers not to blame one another for the past. And here it comes. It all builds up to this last one. The results are reconciliation. Reconciliation. The heart of a godly father is revived, and the family was reunited. I have never been through a trial that God, if he has his way and I allow him to have his way, that I don't come out better for it and closer to Jesus and more conformed into the image of the Lord. Amen? So we didn't have a lot of time to go through this specifically because I yapped and yapped and yapped. But Just to give you an idea of what we're going to go through as we go through that. Is that okay? I encourage you guys with the steps to the changed life, steps that change a person's life. Read these chapters, 43, 44, well, start in 42, 42, 43, 44, 45. Read them this week with that in mind, steps to change lives, and see how the Lord ministers to you. Amen? Let's pray, and Ed, if you wouldn't mind coming up with the worship team. Father, thank you. Just trusting that tonight, our time together was a time kind of like an introduction, an overview to where we're going in Scripture. And we thank you, Lord, for it. And we thank you that you love us so much that you bring your change in our hearts. We just love you and pray that you would minister to us. Keep us safe, Lord, and that you would have your way. Today, tonight, at this very moment, Lord, we just want to say, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender my fears. I surrender my doubts. I surrender my hurts. I surrender my desires to you so you can have your way in my life. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.